welcome to Megan's MegaCan. This is normally a podcast about German politics, in which it's sort of like drunk politics. We have a drink.
Yeah.
And I tell you what you missed in the world of German politics this week. And
yes, because I missed.
Yeah, I'm Conrad Werner, by the way, and that is Megan.
That is Megan. Yes, hello. This is Megan and her hangover, because we're not doing it on a Friday evening. We're doing it on...
I know, so we've got to force Saturday afternoon,
so now I have to drink, but I have to drink because I'm about to talk about something which is related but not directly to German politics, which is the Pope.
Yeah.
He's just arrived in Ireland, everyone.
Yeah. Can I open my MegaCan, please?
Yeah, do you want the Havana Club cane sugar and lime one? I think you had that one before and you liked it. Or you could have the gin and tonic one.
No, I'll have the cane sugar.
It's fine, because there's no way I could possibly keep rum down. And I don't want to vomit on your fancy computer.
Okay.
All right.
Cheers.
We don't open my can. Oh, God, that was painful. Okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Okay, so the Pope is arriving in Dublin this morning.
Has arrived, yeah. I got a notification on my phone.
Okay. And I've got his itinerary here.
Mm.
He's meeting the Irish president first, and then he's going to Dublin Castle to meet other politicians and diplomats. And then he's going to give a short speech, and then he's going to go to St. Mary's Pro Cathedral. Mm. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that is. I don't know where it is, but...
Cathedral, yeah. And then he's going to go on a tour of central Dublin this afternoon, where people are going to line the streets. Are they?
I don't know. It's an interesting one. Because obviously he's, you know, the whole kind of media debate around it at the moment is that he's coming to a very different Ireland than Pope John Paul II came to in 79. Yeah, I'll tell you what's not on the itinerary, because he's going then down to Knock, which is a shriney thing.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that. No, I'm not going to apologise for my ignorance about it. I'm sorry. That's not...
It's probably
me not knowing that in the context of the Catholic Church is not an offensive thing. So there's some kind of shrine down at Knock. He's going down there and then he's coming back up the road tomorrow. Or is he doing Knock tomorrow morning anyway? He's going to Knock and then he's doing big mass in Phoenix Park. Croke Park. No, Croke Park's today. He's the world meeting of the families.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that loads of the people involved, like the high up priests who were supposed to be speaking, like, can't come because there's been like massive child abuse scandals coming out in their diocese recently. So that all can't really go and give that speech about keeping children safe within a good Catholic family.
Oh, they can't go?
No. No, they've had to. There's two of them on a... should have their names. I'm sorry. I'm so upset. Like, I'm beyond being able to, like, take notes about any of this. But anyway, the Pope is not going to be visiting or speaking with any sites of the atrocities committed by the Catholic Church in the 20th century. He's just not going there.
But he's meeting some survivors, isn't he?
Yeah, but I can't. We'll see. I don't know. He has a massive opportunity here, as I see it, like to say some stuff. But I don't feel like he's going to. I think that, you know, we were all super excited about this Pope that was going to, like, say all this cool stuff and things, but I don't believe that he will.
What could he do?
I don't know, but it would have to be something like on a level that we haven't seen before. So for instance, with the scandal that emerged in Chile in January, where there were all these allegations of child sex abuse, and then the Pope basically accused the victims of lying and said that they needed to stop that, and then had to issue like a formal apology for that. Like, that is not someone who is on the right page in terms of what he needs to be saying. I don't know what could you say in Ireland? I'm not sure.
I think his spokesman gave an interview, didn't he, to The Independent. Is that right? Greg Burke.
Oh, God. Is he the one? Show me his picture.
Here. Greg Burke, Vatican chief spokesman, gave an interview to RTE, yep, in which he said, obviously, this is a cultural problem.
Oh, yes, this interview, yes. I've shared it on my Facebook. My whole thing is just, like, a rage. Yeah, cultural abuse cannot be changed overnight. So in this, he sort of says, you know, it's basically not just us, and we can't really do very much about it overnight. Like, don't fucking expect miracles, somewhat ironically. You cannot put yourselves forward as God's representatives on earth and then dodge any form of culpability when you do something wrong. Like, you just can't. How dare you?
Well, no. And the churches have always acted as if it doesn't have to follow any laws. Like, it's the only law is the own law. So they don't. So they've always, when there was a priest abusing children, they would just move him to another place, wouldn't they? And rather than have him arrested.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that was the pattern all over the world, wasn't it?
Yeah. And this is the problem. Because, and this is why I don't know what the Pope could say or do, but it would have to be something incredibly, incredibly radical. Because we are not talking about, and look, I am aware, and I have been speaking with him this week, there are many individuals within the Catholic Church who I don't understand it. But I can respect them. They are trying to do good things. Da, 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 da. But by the same token, this is not a few bad individuals within the Catholic Church who have perpetuated, who have committed horrendous crimes. This is like a institutionalized, systematic and systemic facilitation of abuse of women and children, predominantly over millennia. By an inherently patriarchal, homophobic, misogynistic institution.
Yeah.
If you want that institution to survive, you have to, unbuild it, take it apart and put it back together again in some kind of different guise.
But they're just so scared of opening it, aren't they? They're so scared of,
open!
But they're so scared of having the police get involved or having the government get involved.
The Pope then, you know, after he gave this official apology to the Chilean survivors of abuse, he did a big thing and he accepted the resignation of 36 Chilean bishops. I work with young people. If I abuse them, I don't get to have my resignation accepted by my boss. I get fired and go to prison. This is why is no one going to prison?
I don't understand. I don't understand why people aren't going to prison. I don't understand why, the state prosecutors can't just intervene. I don't understand why they can't just arrest
people. Part of the problem is, and the thing is, we're not just talking about illegal crimes. Some of the other stuff that we want apologies for from the Pope are actions of the state-sanctioned and funded actions of the Catholic Church throughout the and their institutions throughout the 20th century. So we have the Magdalene laundries.
Yeah. What happened there briefly?
So this is where fallen women, so women primarily who had children out of wedlock, prostitutes, fallen women. One of them was reading on the way over as young as 9, would be made to work as penance for their sins in these laundries, unpaid labour run by nuns. The Sisters of Mercy, and I think maybe a few other orders. 1 in 10 of those women died, the youngest being 15, and this went on until like 1996 or some total bullshit. And the other, of course, horrifying example, which is very much tied into the Madeleine Laudries, because if you were the mother and baby homes, the most kind of infamous one being Tuam in Galway, where, thanks to the amazing efforts of Catherine Corliss, the kind of like amateur historian who kind of investigated this and discovered all of this. So mother and baby homes were where unwed mothers were sent to for their confinement to have their child, which then would often be taken away and sold for adoption, often against their will, or fostered out to families who abused them horribly and used that money for not looking after the child, or they stayed in the home and had just untold horror of neglect and abuse and starvation and maltreatment until they died. And when this investigation came out, 700 and the remains of 796 babies and children were found in what was an old septic tank.
In where?
In Tuam, in this mother and baby home. Because it's on the like the site of this old workhouse, and that was kind of the septic tank of the workhouse, and they were buried in there in like unconsecrated ground, no burial, no funeral, no nothing.
But they just dumped them in there. They didn't.
796.
Over about 40 years or whatever.
From 1925 to 1961.
Right. But, like, and did anyone go to prison, or what had happened?
No.
So that's illegal, isn't it? You can't just bury people.
Yeah. So nothing has happened. Catherine, I'm spelling her name wrong because I just want to make sure. Yes, Catherine Corliss, who's the kind of amateur historian I was talking about, who just kind of set out, like, she's not an investigative journalist. She's been speaking about it, obviously, this week. And she was invited up to one of these events with the Pope. She got this invitation and she said to them, well, you know, the Catholic Church has said nothing on this. I can't find anything where they've commented on this.
The Catholic Church has never said anything about these, nope, babies. And is the...
Not on a sort of official, like, this is the Vatican's word on it. No, like, I know a lot of people within the Catholic Church are freaking horrified, as you would be. But anyway, Catherine Corliss has been invited up this weekend. And she said to them, well, like, is there any chance of me having a word with the Pope on behalf of these people? And they said, no one's talking to him. So she was like, no, thanks, I'm gonna stand with the babies. They're having a vigil there.
And what do you think of Leo Varadkar? He seems nice. Isn't he gonna, he said he was not gonna skirt these issues, he said. When he met
But he also said something like, it's not really...
He's the president of Ireland, by the way. No,
the prime minister. The president of Ireland is Michael D. Higgins.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
He's pretty cool. I'm kind of... He'll be with them now, I think, won't he? Come on, Michael.
And do you expect anything from them? Do you expect them to...
Not really.
No?
I don't know.
Well,
Leo. Maybe. I mean, I think Leo... Yeah, he's a politician, and he will... You know, he did a 180 on abortion when he realized, I think, you know, I don't want to be super cynical about it, and I do think it is great when people admit publicly that they've changed their mind or whatever, but he was very anti-choice, and then when it became apparent that the mood in the country was changing and that the referendum was really being called for, then he became a very kind of key in the in the pro-choice kind of movement. So, I don't know.
Okay.
But, like, he's still meeting with him, and he'll maybe, like, he'll... I'm sure he will mention it. and we'll get some kind of, you know, we've got a big letter from the Pope recently about like apologizing for this abuse and saying that we all need to pray and maybe fast.
Because that'll help.
Ah.
Not having any dinner.
Yeah. So, yeah, it may well be brought up. I'm sure people will bring it up with him, but whether we're going to get anything about, like, just complete platitudes, I don't know.
And what about all these people who are buying tickets and then not going?
Yeah. Well, they're very naughty. So one of the forms of protest has been, so there's these big, there's a massive mass in Croke Park, which has a capacity of loads.
Is that the same place that the old Pope went to, the Polish Pope?
Wasn't the Polish Pope. Which one was the Polish Pope? The one, there's been two popes. There's Pope John Paul, and then there was another one in the middle, wasn't there? He died like after about 2 days. Like, oh, fuck, we can't go through that again.
He's not dead. He retired.
He retired?
He's the German one.
He must be dead.
Joseph Ratzinger. You're thinking of, he's the German one. The one
between, oh, the one the, before the, him was the John Polish one. Paul. Yes. Yeah, John Paul. I don't know. Did he go to Croke Park? Probably. Or is he in Phoenix Park? I can't remember.
He was the one where people were taking their entire family, like half the population of Ireland went.
Like, everyone went. It was a big deal. Everybody, you know, loved it. Great. Going to go to Mass. Anyway,
Did your family go?
Huh?
Did your family go?
No, we're Protestants from the north.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so, no.
So totally insensitive to sectarian. I thought it was like everyone went. Okay.
No. Also, like, it was 79. My mum was, like, a teenager. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my grandfather was definitely not taking anyone to the other
part. Oh, okay.
Not that he was some kind of thing. It just, you know, he was just a moderate sort of middle-of-the-road unionist. Anyway, what was I saying? People saying nope to the Pope has been this kind of campaign where, peaceful process where people have been applying for free tickets for this event, for the Mass, and then just not going. That, you know, that's going to be their protest, so there's going to be empty.
Do they know how many people have done this?
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Yeah. But some people have claimed to have bought, you can't buy them, but, like, got loads. But, of course, it's come under quite a lot of criticism, including from the Taoiseach himself, who was like, protest is all very well, but, you know, you're... I don't know why he sounds so counted down. But, like, you know, you're denying somebody the opportunity to go and see the Pope. And I think that was just a massively out-of-touch thing. Like, you know, this idea of, well, that's, you know, it's offensive or it's denying someone there. No. 796 children and babies.
Yeah.
That's fucking offensive. That's denying somebody something. Using your rights as an Irish citizen to apply for and then use or not use those spaces. When you have a... Anyway, I remember my other point. Like, that's the problem with Ireland and the church and the prosecution and all that. It's all so state-sanctioned. Ireland handed over, like, health and education to the Catholic Church.
Did they?
In its founding. Yeah, most, like, yeah.
So, how did that happen?
Well, it just did.
How did they mean? What do you mean, handed over?
Well, it just ran out. Stop asking me questions I obviously don't know the answer to. But, like, yeah, and it's you know, so Ireland came Ireland did not come into being. Ireland regained its independence from the British in 1921. And since then, the Catholic Church have been kind of funded by the state to run schools, hospitals, kind of thing.
Oh, I didn't realise. So the Catholic Church runs schools and hospitals in all of them, not all of them.
So there used to be, I mean, now it's like less kind of, it's not like you go in and you're going to be nursed by a nun or taught by a nun or a priest. But I mean, I know people growing up in Northern Ireland that were taught by nuns. Like, they might have been one of the last generations, but I know people who went to like Christian Brothers boys' schools, which some of the most violent and unpleasant places you could imagine for a young person to be in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's
worse
kind of...
That's worse than Germany.
Oh, yeah. Germans get like, oh, you know, thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's bad. And we should have separation of church and state. But like, please. Are you kidding me?
I mean, we have in Germany, there are a few church-run hospitals and schools. Quite a lot of them, really. And charities. A lot of charities are church-run. And we also have the church tax in Germany.
Yeah.
But we don't have... It's not all of them. It's not all of the hospitals that are run by the church.
No, I mean, I obviously, as is my want, I'm somewhat... Like, I can't tell you the actual technical details, but there is a huge amount of influence still.
Yeah.
Particularly sort of in schools, a lot of people... in certain areas feel like they have to, you know, and they've this kind of continuing what was called in the press recently, I think it was an Irish Times article about like cultural Catholicism, where people kind of, even though they don't have any faith, they kind of perpetuate this with having their children baptized and things, because it's like a cultural event where their parents want it to happen. But also a lot of places, very difficult to get your child into the school of your choice if the school child is not baptized as Catholic.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
In Germany, there's a thing where doctors in like Catholic hospitals get sacked if they get a divorce.
Yeah, I heard about that last night.
There's been a few court cases over it because it's kind of illegal to sack someone just to get a divorce. But then the church argues, or the hospital argues, that it's not in keeping with their lifestyle that they promote. And they say that that's part of their reason why they exist. And there's also other charities that don't employ people who are not Christian, who are not there are homeless charities that won't employ people who are not registered Christians. And people think that's really ridiculous too, because a lot of the homeless people they're helping are obviously not always Christian. It's just a bit ridiculous.
I know. But
volunteers are okay. You can be like a volunteer. You can be like a Muslim volunteer, but you can't work.
You can't get paid for them.
Yeah. There's some stuff like there's weird stuff like that in Germany, but it's not. Doesn't sound like it's the same.
I mean, it's just so entrenched. But I don't know.
Anyway, Can I tell you something else?
Yeah.
Can I lighten the mood?
Are you going to lighten the mood?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Holocaust.
Fuck's sake.
I'm only joking. Well, it's just related to... It is an interesting
You're
case.
You're not joking.
I'm not joking. But it's an interesting case that happened this week that I would like to talk about. It's happy in a certain way, but also sad because it's, you know, it's the Holocaust.
Yeah, okay.
But it's... So this week, I just think it's... I think it's a fascinating legal, diplomatic and, like, moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a man called Yakiv Pali.
I think I might know about this. Okay. Oh my god!
He was born in Poland.
Yes.
In the 20s, when Poland was occupied by Germany during the war, he became a Trawniki man. Trawniki was a kind of concentration camp / SS training ground for collaborators in eastern occupied Poland. Most of them were Ukrainian. There were so people from the Soviet army who were POWs were like press ganged into becoming collaborators. Sort of press ganged, but it's like morally murky. A lot of them became SS guards in concentration camps. And they took part in the Holocaust, therefore. They were moved to especially concentration camps in that region, Sobibor, Treblinka, places like that. Belzec was another one. They're all in that kind of that area. They were the Trawniki men. And this one, he survived the war. He, in 1949, he emigrated to the United States. 1957, he became a naturalized US citizen. And in 2003, so he lived his whole life in the United States. In 2003, a federal court found out that he had been lying. He said he was just a Polish farmer who was like a victim of the war. And he was a war refugee. They found out he'd been lying, and he was a Travniki man, and they stripped him of his US citizenship in 2003.
Yeah.
And called for him to be divorced. Got mixed up.
Deported. Got divorced on the brain. The Catholic would be horrified.
Yeah, it's like, Jesus. Okay, it's Havana Club. So this is the problem, isn't it, with the drinking
in the day.
Going into
one third hungover, one third about to cry from the pressure, and the other third I'm like pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So anyway.
Anyway, yes. What's happened with him?
So since 2003, they wanted him deported.
Has there been like this kind of like? No one wants to take him.
So he couldn't
be deported.
They've
tried to give him to Germany.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oi, you've created this problem.
Yeah, you did the Holocaust.
Hitler, you did the Holocaust, you wankers.
By the way, not cool. And
then Poland. No, that's what Poland's... Because they were maybe trying to... Because he is Polish, yes?
Yeah.
Originally. And then Poland's... Germany's problem now.
Yeah.
They invaded.
So no one took him for a long time. And then there were protests on his... He lived in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, which has got a huge, Jewish population.
Yeah. He lived there, and then people were protesting outside his house, and congressmen got involved, and all these different politicians got involved, and, like, campaigned to have him removed. But the American system was like, well, we want to remove him, but we can't remove him. And the... US and now it's become a diplomatic coup for the Trump administration because they became the administration.
Oh,
that got
that's
him out.
Why I got the rage reading this, and I remember this.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet mother of the divine Christ! Yeah.
So, Richard Grenell, who is US ambassador to Germany, who is, by the way, he's openly gay, and.
Well, that must make them all right.
Yeah, this is what he said. Like, he said, like, oh, we... Someone did a tweet, which Richard Grenell retweeted.
Are we using the right technology or terminology?
Someone posted a tweet.
Tweeted?
He tweeted, yeah. Someone, I can't remember who it was. But anyway, he tweeted something along the lines of, an openly gay ambassador pressured Germany to finally take in... a Nazi war criminal, and then added this detail that African American like people enforced it, like people, some of the ICE officers, because it was part of the ICE thing, they enforced it, and it said, and then he wrote, it's like they've refuted all of the left criticisms of the Trump administration in one act. And Richard Grenell retweeted that and said, fact checked, all true, like that. So
yeah,
it's become
all true, but it's not. Yeah, because then the what is the White House spokesperson lady?
The Sanders.
Yeah, is she Sarah? Have we gone from Sean Spicer to Sarah Sanders?
She's just called Sarah Sanders. What is she?
But Sean Spicer was sibilance.
Oh, yeah.
Sibilance equals evil, guys. That's always the hint. Like a snake. Yeah. Like the devil. Come on, you're supposed to be Christian.
Like the SS.
I don't know who... Yeah, exactly. This is not okay. So she was kind of like saying something like, Trump administration has finally done what like years of Democratic whatever failed to do and get this terrible... Or no, Trump said something like this terrible Nazi back.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this kind of claim thing was like, guys, you can't... You had Stephen Bannon. I know that you've fallen out with him now, but he was in the White House. He is a neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
You can't take one... And this is then the moral quandary, isn't it? So what's happened with... what's his name? The Polish...
Jakub Pali.
Jakub Pali. Yeah, what's happened? Where is he now?
Well, that's the other interesting thing, is because the German prosecutors, there's an office... it's got a really long name.
So he's in Germany.
Germany now, and he's been moved to our old people's home, and he's just going to stay there and die. He's 95. He's had two strokes already. He's not going to live very long. He's going to stay there and die. The German state is going to pay for him to die there. And but he's not going to
be cared for because there's no one to work in the nursing homes, as we covered last week.
Yeah, that's another problem.
Maybe that is his cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah,
but not everyone in there is like a war criminal, are they? So, anyway,
so
continue.
But the German prosecutors who wanted to prosecute him, they actually had an investigation into him because they knew about it. He was alive. They knew. I mean, obviously, he'd been through the American court,
mm-hmm.
and they closed their case because they didn't have enough evidence against him. Which is so he's not going to face trial, almost certainly. Which is weird because I think it's really weird because in Germany you can, you know, like denying the Holocaust is a crime in Germany, like, or even just relativizing the fact. If you say like only, it's not, it couldn't have been 6 million. If you say, it could be 2 million, that is a crime in Germany. You can't say that. But actually being a guard in a concentration camp, that is not a crime. The only crime you can be convicted for, it's not like a Nazi related crime, is murder or accessory to murder.
Yeah.
And it's like, and he's not going to go to prison for that because they can't prove that he was part of any company, any particular company that took part in any particular murdering.
Like any of the, like, what are they called? The Einsatz?
Yeah. Weapon? And it's really like a mad gap in the German system.
Well, or is it? Can you prosecute people by taking the jobs that are created under a really fucked system?
Well,
I mean, this is like, how much onus do we put on the individual to take moral standpoints? And I'm slightly being devil's advocate here because I'm like, all of it! Fucking all of it! But I guess maybe that's the...
But I think, they should have just... I think, like, Germany never really... Like, a judicial level has never really got to work out what to do with the Holocaust.
It's and like to punish fucking people. Problem as well on a judicial level. Like, it's just more like, oh, well, you can't talk about it being less than 6 months. You know, that's a crime. Doing that is a crime. But are we actually going to prosecute any of these people? No, because they just denazified all of them and then they went into other positions of power, didn't they? Because
and especially a lot of the judges.
The world works.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, the victims of the Holocaust sitting on any of these things. They never have had their day in...
No.
Par. Mm, yeah.
And there was... And the times... And it's all too late anyway. I mean, all these people are too old. He's not...
That's the thing. It's the same with... 90s.
It should have been done in the 50s.
Well, it's the same with this... another... thing that's slightly raining on the Pope's wee state-funded holiday to Ireland is the stuff that's come out in America, like this massive review into child abuse, but it's awful. But the vast majority, like, no one's going to get any justice because they're all either dead or it's past the statute of limitation.
Yeah.
Which isn't
should I do a funny story to finish?
Please do. I'm now, I'm just crying out of like one eye.
Okay.
Definitely drunk.
Okay.
I've got to go to IKEA in a minute. Yeah. Give me a happy story.
It's not really happy, but it's sort of funny.
Fuck's sake. There must be some happy news.
I have to do this because it happened this week and it was a big thing. And I've only got a minute left because I've just realised I'm going to run out of time. So we've got a minute.
Okay, go.
There was a Pegida demonstration in Dresden.
Were you in it? You love those.
I don't. In Dresden last week, and during the demonstration, one of the Pegida people, he started shouting at a TV news crew, and he kept going, and he looked really funny. He was like all fat, and he had a stupid hat on, which was like an angler's hat, like the guy out of the Stone Roses, the drummer.
Right, okay.
He had like one of those little stupid hats on, yeah. But in Germany colours. So German national flag colours. And sunglasses, and he was and a Czech shirt, and like a, and he just looked ridiculous. And he started shouting at this TV crew that were filming him walking past. He was in the march. And right, where were we?
Yeah, when it.
So this Pegida guy, he made them go to the police. This TV crew.
Aye.
He goes, you can't film me. The TV crew, the police took his side.
Kept them for 45 minutes.
Kept them 45 minutes. All the time they were negotiating and filming, and then the reporters tweeted it and said, this is ridiculous, we're being held because of a Pegida neo-Nazi just told the police to keep hold us, and they're taking, you know, this is insane. The head of the government of Saxony, He was like, we're going to clean up Saxony's image. He's like this new guy. He's going, we're going to clean up Saxony's image because it's got this kind of bad image with the far right. He took the police's side, and he said, like, he defended the police. He says the only people who are acting seriously in this situation were the police. And then this week it turned out that the guy, the Pegida guy, was working for the police, was a police employee. That was funny. He was actually a police employee. He was just on holiday. He was on holiday. In his holiday time, he decided to join a far-right demonstration.
Crazy. Are they not allowed to film people? Isn't there some kind of thing about, like, you wait?
Well, you can film people, but then if you broadcast it, you're supposed to get a release form, aren't you? That's the rule.
How is that going to work on things like news coverage of a protest?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it depends if you recognise their face in that. You're supposed to get. I mean, officially, you're supposed to get like a release.
Yeah.
It's when you film. I think that's in every country. I don't think that's just Germany. But no. I'm not sure about the legal.
Is it a policeman?
He's not an actual police officer. It just said he works for the police. So it could be just someone who works in the office or someone. Like, it's not really clear exactly what he does.
He seems like a very troubled man.
Yeah, he was like, he was just really fat and shouty. It was just funny. I mean, I shouldn't, like, you know, it's fine. He's allowed to be fat.
He is absolutely allowed to be fat. He's just not allowed to be.
He's just not allowed, not allowed
just
to be a fascist.
I think it's okay. You know, people can talk about freedom of whatever, but no.
So I thought it was quite funny.
That is quite funny. I don't really understand it because it's, I think, just bizarre. Also, yeah. I'm quite drunk now.
Okay.
I'm both hungover and drunk and like giggly and also really depressed.
Wow, you've got that's like a full house of emotions. That's like the poker. That's the ideal poker.
Yeah, but
poker
none of the fun ones. Like, I'm not joyous or.
Of negative emotions.
Fucking shit, yeah. Anyway.
Alright, well, this has been.
Leaving it there then.
This has been enlightening. Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye, everyone.